is an oxymoron. Kyle and I moved to his couch, and we went through a few books of his favorite architects, studying their styles. He seemed particularly interested in how some worked with the land around them, and others worked against it.
"I mean, look at that,"
he said enthusiastically, after nearly every page. I couldn't believe it had taken me all these years to see this side of him. He tucked himself inside a shell, shutting himself away from others here, because the palace had trapped him. Behind the books and the snippy remarks, there was a curious, engaging, and sometimes very charming person. I felt like I'd been lied to. Was someone going to pop around the corner and tell me Josie was really a saint? Eventually, Kyle looked down to his watch.
"It's 9:10.
Oh, we should go then. But I didn't want to get up. Kyle's messy room was one of the most comfortable places I'd ever been.
Yeah.
Kyle closed the book and put it back on the shelf. Even though that corner was as haphazard as the rest of the room, I could see the care he took with it. I waited for him by the door, suddenly nervous.
"Here,"
he said, offering his hand.
"It's the end of a date, right?"
I placed my hand in his. "Thanks for showing me your work and for doing this. I promise to pay you back."
"I know."
He opened the door and walked me down the hall. "When do you think we last held hands?" I wondered out loud.
"Probably a game of Red Rover or something."
"Probably." We were quiet as we headed toward my room. When we reached it, I turned back to Kyle and watched as he swallowed.
"Nervous?"
I whispered.
"Nah."
He smiled, but he also fidgeted.
"So, good night."
Kyle leaned down, lips meeting mine, holding them there. Then his lips parted and closed, and parted again. I drew a breath in the moment between kisses, sensing he would come back again. He did, and thank goodness, because I hadn't been kissed like this before and I needed more. The few times I'd kissed boys were rushed, sloppy moments hiding in a coat room or behind a statue. But this, with so much air around us and no one coming to check on me, it was different. I leaned into Kyle, still holding him, and he brought up his free hand and cupped my cheek. He held my lips to his for what felt like forever before pulling back. And even when he did pull away, his nose stayed right against mine, so close that when he whispered, I could smell what was left of the wine on his breath.
"Do you think that was enough?"
I don't know.
"Just to be sure."
He pressed his mouth to mine again, and I was so surprised to get another kiss like that. It felt like my bones were turning into mush. I wrapped my fingers up into his hair, shocked at myself for having the urge to hold him in that pose all night. He pulled back again, looking into my eyes, and there was something different. Was he feeling that funny warmth creep into his arms and chest and head too? "Thank you," I murmured.
"Anytime. I mean."
He shook his head, laughing at himself.
"You know what I mean."
"Good night, Kyle."
"Good night, Edlin."
He gave me a quick kiss on the cheek before heading toward the stairs that led back to his temporary quarters. I watched him go and told myself that the only reason I was smiling like that was because the cameras were hidden somewhere, not because of anything Kyle Woodwork had done. Chapter 13. So, I think I managed to distract everyone for a while. I held on to Aaron's arm as we walked through the garden.
"I'll say."
Aaron made a smart little face at me, and I fought the urge to hit him.
"How was it?"
At that, I really did hit him. "You pig, a lady never tells."
"Well, is a real lady meant to be photographed kissing her suitor in the dark?" I shrugged. Either way, it worked.
The pictures of Kyle and me were gobbled up like food, just as predicted. It felt a little strange that this was what people were hungry for, but it didn't really matter as long as they were satisfied. The reactions to the kiss ranged, though. A handful of the papers thought it was sweet, but the majority of them were displeased that I was so willing to give up a kiss this early in the competition. One of the gossip magazines even had a back and forth with two of their biggest reporters over whether I was loose for giving such a kiss, or if it was sweet because I'd known Kyle since birth. I tried to shrug it off. There would be other things to talk about soon enough. I dug a few pages in, I said, turning back to Aaron. Not a single report of post-caste discrimination.
So, what are your plans for today? Going to make the boys cry again?
I rolled my eyes. It was only one, and I don't know. Maybe I won't visit them today.
Nope,
Aaron blurted, moving us to a new path.
So help me, Edlin. If I have to drag you by your hair through this, I will. But you actually got to participate in the selection.
I let my arm slip away from his. I can't help feeling there's no way it was this hard for Dad.
Have you asked him?
No, and I don't think I can. Just recently, both he and Mom have been giving me more details, thinking it might be helpful. I feel like they must have held those things close to them for a reason, and it seems rude to ask. Besides, I don't know that any two people in this situation would handle it the exact same way, and I really don't want to know if Dad cared about anyone besides Mom.
Isn't that a strange thought?
He sat on a nearby stone bench.
Some other woman could have been our mother.
No, I countered, joining him. We only exist because they found each other. Any other combination would not have created the two of us.
You're messing with my head, Edie.
Sorry. The situation is throwing me off. I traced my finger around the stone. I mean, I get why the concept sounds appealing. That somewhere out there my perfect match could be waiting for me, and by chance I could pull his name and meet him and fall madly in love. But then there's the feeling of being a prize horse, that I'm being judged more so than usual. And when I look at all these boys, they seem foreign in comparison to the type of people I generally encounter, and I don't think I like it. The whole thing makes me feel unsettled. Aaron was quiet for a while, and I could see he was carefully choosing words, which made me nervous. I wasn't sure if that was a twin thing or a bond exclusive to Aaron and me, but it was almost physical when we were at odds. It felt like a rubber band pulling tight between us.
Listen, Edie, I know this might have been the wrong way to go about it, but I do think it's good for you to have someone in your life. I've been with Camille a long time, and even if everything ended tomorrow, I'd be a better person because of her. There are some things you don't learn about yourself until you let someone else into the most intimate places of your heart.
How can you two even manage to do that? You spend almost all of your time apart. He grinned.
She's my soulmate. I know it.
I don't think soulmates are real, I said, examining my shoes. You happen to meet a French princess because you only ever meet royalty, and you like her more than anyone else. Your true soulmate could be milking a cow right now, and you'd never know.
You're always so down on her.
His tone made the invisible rubber band stretch again. I'm simply discussing possibilities.
In the meantime, you have dozens of possibilities in front of you, and refuse to look at them.
I snorted. Did Dad put you up to this?
No. I think you should look at this with an open mind. You're one of the most isolated people in the country, but that doesn't mean your walls have to be up all the time. You need to experience a romantic relationship at least once in your life.
Hey, I've experienced romantic relationships.
A picture in the paper does not count as a relationship,
he said heatedly.
Neither does making out with Laurent Troyes at that Christmas ball in Paris.
I gasped. How do you know about that?
Everyone knows about that.
Even Mom and Dad?
Dad doesn't know. Well, unless Mom told him, because I'm positive she does.
I buried my face and made some screechy sound that encapsulated my complete humiliation.
All I'm saying is, this could be good for you.
That line pushed all the shame out of my body and replaced it with rage. Everyone keeps saying that. It might be good for me. What does that even mean? I'm smart and beautiful and strong. I don't need to be rescued. Aaron shrugged.
Maybe not, but you never know if one of them might need to be.
I stared at the grass, considering that. I shook my head. What are you doing, Aaron? What's with the sudden change of heart? I thought you were on my side. I saw a flicker of something in his eyes before he pushed it away and put an arm around me.
I am, Edlin. You, Mom, and Camille are the most important women in my life. So please understand me when I say that sometimes I wonder how happy you are.
I'm happy, Aaron. I'm the princess. I have everything.
I think you're mistaking comfort for joy.
His words vaguely reminded me of my recent chat with Mom. Aaron rubbed my arm and stood, brushing off his suit.
I promised Caden I'd help with his French lesson. Just think about all this, okay? Maybe I'm wrong. It certainly wouldn't be the first time.
We shared a smile. I nodded. I'll think about it. He gave me a wink.
Go on a date or something. You need to get a life.
I stood outside the door to the men's parlor pacing, worrying I was wasting time. After my talk with Aaron, I really should have gone straight to the office. Truthfully, I was looking forward to getting back to the normal monotony of shuffling papers. But his words, above anyone else's, made me wonder if I should at least try. And not the fake trying I was planning for the cameras, but genuine effort. I told myself that I would have to date them eventually anyway. It was the bare minimum of what I'd need to do. It didn't mean I was choosing anyone. I was just keeping my promise to Dad and doing what the people expected. Sighing, I handed the envelope to the butler. Okay, go ahead. He bowed before he left, and I waited outside. I decided I wasn't going to barge into the men's parlor again. I wanted the selected to be on their toes, but everyone needed a retreat now and then.
I knew that better than anybody.
A moment later, the butler returned, holding the door as Hale stepped out. Two things passed through my head as he approached. First, I wondered what Kyle would think, which, admittedly, was odd. Second, it was obvious Hale still didn't know what to make of me, because he was very cautious as he came to a stop about 2 feet away and bowed.
Your Highness?
I clasped my hands in front of me. You may call me Edlin. There was a hint of a smile in his eyes.
Edlin?
No one in the world is as powerful as you. I was wondering if you'd like to join me for dessert tonight after dinner.
Just you and me?
I sighed. Was there someone else you wanted to invite? Do you need a translator as well?
No,
he said, a real smile coming across his face.
I'm just pleasantly surprised, I guess.
Oh. It was a pathetic response to such a sweet admission, but I simply wasn't prepared. Hale stood there, his hands jammed in his pockets, beaming, and it was hard to think of him as another person I'd just send home. Anyway, I'll come by your room about 20 minutes after dinner, and we'll go to one of the parlors upstairs.
Sounds great. See you tonight.
I started walking. See you tonight. I was a little bothered because I was looking forward to it now. His anticipation was kind of cute. But worse than the feeling that the selection was getting to me was the triumphant look on Hale's face when he caught me peeking back at him. Chapter 14. Would it be strange if I changed dresses between dinner and dessert? Was he going to change clothes? I'd been wearing tiaras for the last few days, but was it inappropriate if I wore one on a date? On a date. This was too far out of my comfort zone.
I felt so vulnerable, which I couldn't understand. I had interacted with plenty of young men. I did have that spectacular interlude with Laron at that Christmas party, and Jameson Ackers fed me a strawberry lip-to-lip hidden behind a tree at a picnic. I'd even made it through last night with Kyle, though that was nothing close to a real date. I had met all 35 of the selected candidates and stood tall through every minute. Not to mention, I helped run an entire country. Why was one date with one boy making me so anxious? I decided that yes, I would change. And I put on a yellow dress that was longer in the back than in the front, which I paired with a navy belt, so it looked a little less, I'm ready for the garden party, and a little more, let's go out. And no tiara. Why had I even considered it? I gave my reflection a once over, and reminded myself that he was trying to win me over, not the other way around. I jumped at the knock on the door. I still had 5 minutes, and I was supposed to go to him. He was throwing off my entire preparation strategy, and so help me, I'd send him away and start all over again if I had to. Without waiting for an answer, Aunt May poked her head in, Mom smiling right behind her. Aunt May! I ran over and crushed her in a hug. What are you doing here? I figured you could use some extra support, so I came back. And I'm here to make this whole thing more awkward than it has to be, Mom promised with a smile. I laughed nervously. I'm not used to this. I don't know what to do. Aunt May cocked an eyebrow. According to the papers, you're doing very well. I blushed. That was different. It wasn't an actual date. It didn't mean anything. But this does? She asked, her voice gentle. I shrugged. It's not the same. I know everyone says this, Mom began, pushing back my hair. But it's the best advice I can give you. Be yourself. That was easier said than done. Because who was I, really? One half of a set of twins? The heir to a throne? One of the most powerful people in the world? The biggest distraction in the country? Never just daughter, never just girl. Don't take any of this too seriously. Aunt May fixed her own hair in the mirror before turning back to me. You should just enjoy yourself. I nodded. She makes a good point, Mom agreed. It's not as if we want you to choose someone today. You have time here, so have fun meeting some new people. Goodness knows that's a rarity for you. True. It just feels awkward. I'm going to be alone with him, and then he'll tell all the other guys about it, and then we'll have to talk about it on TV. It sounds harder than it is. Most of the time it's funny, Mom insisted. I tried to imagine teenage her, blushing and talking about her dates with Dad. So you didn't mind it? She pursed her lips together, studying the ceiling as she thought. Well, it was harder in the beginning. I was very hesitant to be the center of attention. But you're brilliant at that, so treat this like any other party or event you'd give an interview about. May looked at her. It's not exactly like a post-Grateful Feast recap, she pointed out before focusing on me. But your mother is right about you being better in the spotlight. She was embarrassing at your age. Thanks, May. Mom rolled her eyes. Anytime. I chuckled, wishing briefly that I had just one sister. Mom's other sister, Aunt Kenna, died years ago of a heart condition. Uncle James was a simple man, so he didn't want to raise Astra and Leo in the palace, even though we offered several times. We kept in touch, of course, but Astra and I were very different girls. Still, I remembered all too clearly the way Mom had spent a week in bed holding May and Grandma Singer after Kenna passed away. More and more, I wondered if losing a sister was like Mom losing part of herself. I knew it would feel like that for me if anything happened to Aaron. Aunt May elbowed Mom and they shared a smile. They never really fought, not over anything that truly mattered, and the two of them soothed my worries. They were right. This was nothing.
You're going to do great, Mom said. You don't know how to fail.
She gave me a wink, and I felt myself stand taller. I checked the clock. I should go. Thanks for coming, I said, taking Aunt May's hand.
No problem.
I hugged her at the door and then headed downstairs. When I got to Hale's room, I paused and drew in a deep breath before I knocked. He answered, not his butler, and he seemed thrilled to see me.
You look fantastic, he said.
Thank you, I answered, smiling in spite of myself.
So do you.
He'd changed too, which made me feel much more comfortable, and I liked what he'd done with himself. His tie was gone, and he had his top button undone. Between that and the vest, he looked, well, he looked cute. Hale tucked his hands into his pockets.
So, where are we going?
I pointed down the hall. This way, up to the fourth floor. He rocked on his feet a few times, then hesitantly held out his arm for me.
Lead the way.
All right, I began as we walked toward the stairs. I know the basic facts. Hale Garner, 19 years old, Belcourt. But those entry forms are a little cut and dried. So what's your story? He chuckled.
Well, I too am the oldest in my family.
Really?
Yes, three boys. Ugh, I feel bad for your mother.
He smiled.
She doesn't mind. We remind her of Dad. So when one of us is a little too loud or laughs at something he would have, she'll sigh and say we're just like him.
I was afraid to ask, but I wanted to be clear. Are your parents divorced? I asked, doubting that was the case.
No, he passed away.
I'm sorry, I said, feeling mortified that I'd indirectly insulted his memory.
It's okay. Not one of those things you know without being told.
Can I ask when he died?
About 7 years ago. I know this will sound weird, but sometimes I'm jealous of my youngest brother. Beau was about 6 when it happened, and he remembers Dad, but not the way I do, you know? Sometimes I wish I didn't have so much to miss.
I'd be willing to bet he's jealous of you for the opposite reason. He gave me a sad smile.
I never thought about that.
We turned up the main stairs, focusing on our steps. When we got to the landing on the fourth floor, I started again. What does your mother do? Hale swallowed.
Right now, she's working as a secretary at the local university. She, well, it's been hard for her to hold down a good job. But she likes this one, and she's had it for a long time. I just realized I began that sentence with right now, because I was used to her switching a lot. But she hasn't done that for a while. Like I said when we met, my dad was a 2. He was an athlete. Went in for surgery on his knee, but there was a clot and it made its way to his heart. Mom had never worked a day in her life. Between her parents and Dad, she was taken care of. After we lost him, all she was good at was being a basketball player's wife.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I was so grateful when we came upon the parlor. How had Dad managed this? How did he sift through all those girls, testing them to find his wife? Getting to know one person was already wearing me out, and we weren't even 5 minutes into our first date.
Wow,
Hale whispered, admiring the setup. From the fourth floor parlors at the front of the palace, you could just barely look out over the walls. Angelus in the evening let out a beautiful glow, and I'd asked for the parlor lights to be dimmed so we could really see it. There was a small table in the middle of the room that had various cakes on it, and a dessert wine was waiting on the side. I'd never tried to set up a romantic evening before, but I thought I did a good job for my first try. Hale pulled out my chair before joining me at the table. I didn't know what you liked, so I got several. These are chocolate, obviously, I said, pointing to the dozens of tiny cakes, then lemon, vanilla, and cinnamon. Hale stared at the piles of treats in front of us, like I'd actually given him something huge.
Listen, I don't want to be rude, he said, but if there's anything you want, you should grab it now, because there's a serious chance I will demolish these.
I laughed. Help yourself. He picked up one of the chocolate cakes and popped the whole thing into his mouth.
Mmm.
Try the cinnamon. It'll change your life. We kept eating for a while, and I thought maybe this would be enough for one night. We'd moved into very safe territory. I could talk about desserts for hours. But then, without warning, he started talking about his life again.
So, my mom works at the university, but I work with a tailor in town.
Oh?
Yeah, I'm very interested in clothes. Well, I am now, anyway. Right after Dad died, it was harder to get new things, so I learned to hide the rips in my brother's shirts or let out a hem as they grew. Then Mom had a pile of dresses she was hoping to sell to get some money, and I took two pieces and combined them to make something new for her. It wasn't perfect, but I was good enough at it that I could probably get a job. So I read a lot and study what Lawrence does. He's my boss. Every now and then, he'll let me take projects on my own. I guess that's what I'll do down the line.
I smirked. You're definitely one of the more put-together guys in the group. He smiled bashfully.
It's easy when I've got so much to work with. My butler is great, so he's helped me with making sure the fit on everything is impeccable. I don't think he appreciates all my pairings, but I want to look like a gentleman while still looking like myself, if that makes any sense.
I nodded enthusiastically as I swallowed a bit of cake. Do you know how hard it is when you love jeans but you're a princess? He chuckled.
But you balance it so well. I mean, they plaster your outfits across every magazine, so I've seen plenty. Your style is very individual.
You think so? I felt encouraged. Criticism was heavy these days, and that one scrap of praise was like water in the desert.
Definitely, he gushed. I mean, you dress like a princess, but then kind of not. I wouldn't be surprised if you were actually the ringleader of an all-girl mafia.
I spit out my wine all over the table, which made Hale burst into laughter.
I'm so sorry.
I felt my cheeks burning. If Mom saw that, I'd get the worst lecture. Hale wiped the tears from his eyes and leaned forward.
Do they really lecture you? I mean, aren't you basically running the country?
I shrugged. Not really. Dad does most of the work. I just shadow him.
But that's a formality at this point, right?
How do you mean? My words must have come out harsher than I meant, because the laughter in his eyes disappeared instantly.
I'm not trying to insult him or anything, but lots of people say he looks tired. I've heard some people speculate all the time on when you'll be ascending.
I looked down. Did people really talk about Dad being tired?
Hey,
Hale said, grabbing my attention again.
I'm really sorry. I was only trying to talk. I didn't mean to make you upset.
I shook my head. No, you're fine. I'm not sure what got into me. Maybe thinking about doing this without Dad.
It's so funny to hear you call the king Dad.
But that's who he is. I found myself smiling again. Something about the way Hale talked made everything feel calmer, brighter. I liked that.
I know, I know. Okay, so back to you. Besides being the most powerful woman in the world, what do you do for fun?
I ate another piece of cake to hide how big my grin was. It may or may not surprise you that I'm also very into fashion.
Oh, really?
He replied sarcastically. I sketch. A lot, actually. I've tried my hands at the things my parents like as well. I know a bit about photography, and I can play the piano a little, but I always come back to my sketchbook. I knew I was smiling. Those pages with their scribbles of colored pencils were one of my safest places in the world.
Could I see them?
What? I crossed my ankles and sat up straighter.
Your sketches. Could I see them sometime?
No one saw my sketches. I only ever showed designs to my maids when I had to, since I didn't do any of the construction. But for everyone I shared, there were a dozen I hid, things I knew I could never wear. I thought about those pieces, each of them stored in my head or on paper, as if keeping them secret was the only way they could possibly be mine. I knew he didn't understand my sudden silence, or why I held tightly to the arms of my chair. Hale asking that question, assuming he was welcome in that world, made me feel like he had somehow seen me, really seen me, and I didn't like it. "Excuse me," I said, standing. "I think I had a little too much wine."
"Do you need help?"
he asked, standing as well. "No, please stay and enjoy yourself." I moved as quickly as I could.
"Your Highness."
"Good night."
"Edlin, wait."
In the hallway, I moved much faster, unable to express my relief when he didn't follow me. Chapter 15. I fully believed my current state was not my fault, not even in the slightest. I knew who to point the finger at, and they were all other Shreves. I blamed Mom and Dad for not being able to get the country under control and forcing me into this situation, and I blamed Aaron for trying to get me to consider these boys in the first place. I was going to be queen, and a queen could be many things, but vulnerable wasn't one of them. Last night's interlude with Hale made me sure of several things. First, I was right about the selection. There was no way I could possibly find a companion under these circumstances, and I considered it miraculous that anyone had in the past. Forced openness with scores of strangers could not be good for one's soul. Second, if I ever did get married, the chances of me having a passionate, enduring love for that person were slim. Love did nothing but break down defenses, and I could not afford that. I already gave so much affection to my family that I knew they were my weakness, Dad and Aaron in particular. It was hard to imagine doing that to myself on purpose. Aaron knew his words could sway me, knew how much I loved him. That was why, above the others, I wanted to throttle him after my date. I went down to breakfast, walking with determined steps as if nothing had changed. I was still in control, and a bunch of silly boys were not going to take over my world. My plan for today was to get back to work. There had been far too many distractions lately, and I needed to focus. Dad talked about me finding someone to help me do my job, but so far, all they were managing to do was make it harder. Aaron and Austin sat next to Mom, and I took my place between Dad and Caden. Even from the opposite side of the table, I could hear Austin chewing.
"You all right, sis?"
Caden asked, pausing between heaping spoonfuls of oatmeal.
"Of course." "You look a little stressed."
"You would, too, if you were going to run the country," I teased.
"Sometimes I think about that,"
he said, getting all serious.
"Like, what if a disease swept over all of Ilia, and you and Mom and Dad and Aaron got sick and died? Then I'd be in charge and have to figure out everything on my own."
In my periphery, I saw Dad lean forward, listening to his son.
"That's a little morbid, Caden."
Caden shrugged.
"It's always good to plan ahead."
I propped my chin on my hand. "So, what would be King Caden's first order of business?"
"Vaccinations, obviously."
I chuckled. "Good call. And after that?" He considered.
"I think I'd try to meet people, non-sick people, so I could know what they need me to do. It probably looks a little different out there than it does in here."
Dad nodded.
"That's pretty smart, Caden."
"I know."
And Caden went back to eating, his imaginary rule at an end. Lucky him. I picked at my food, surreptitiously looking over at Dad. Yes, I'd noticed him looking tired the other night, but that was a one-time thing. Sure, he needed glasses these days, and he had laugh lines surrounding his eyes, but that didn't translate into being worn out.
What did Hale know? I peeked around the room. The boys were speaking to one another in hushed tones. I saw Ian chatting with Baden. Burke had spilled something on his tie and was trying to remove it discreetly and failing. My eyes passed over Hale, happy he wasn't looking in my direction at the moment. At the back of the far table, I saw Henry and Kyle. Eric was translating patiently, and based on all three of their expressions, they were having a pretty good conversation. I was engrossed. I tried for a minute to figure out what they were talking about, but to no avail. I sat there staring at Kyle, watching his hands. It was funny to see the way they gestured to others and gripped a fork, when I knew how well they held a pencil for sketching, or even better, pulled back hair for a kiss. Eventually, Kyle caught me staring and gave me a little nod and a smile. Henry noticed him looking, and he turned in his chair to give me a wave. I bowed my head in acknowledgement, hoping no one noticed my blush. Henry turned back immediately to say something to Eric, who passed it on to Kyle, who raised his eyebrows and nodded. I knew they were talking about me, and I couldn't help but wonder if Kyle had shared certain details of our kiss. Aunt May might be the only person I could spill all the little details of that kiss to without being completely horrified. I'd be lying if I said that moment in the hall hadn't crossed my mind several times since it happened. Aaron stood, kissing Mom on her cheek before he turned to leave. "Wait, Aaron, I need to talk to you," I said, standing as well.
"See you in a bit, sweetie?"
Dad asked, glancing at me. "I'll be up shortly, I promise." Aaron held out his arm for me, and we walked together from the room. I could feel how we drew attention. It was like an energy that followed me nearly everywhere I went. I often reveled in that feeling.
"What do you want to talk about?"
I spoke through my smile. "I'll tell you once we're in the hall." His step faltered.
"Uh-oh."
When we rounded the corner, I pulled back and whacked him on the shoulder.
"Ow!"
"I went on a date last night and it was awful, and I blame you personally." Aaron rubbed his arm.
"What happened? Was he mean?"
"No."
"Did he?"
He lowered his voice.
"Did he try to take advantage of you?"
"No." I crossed my arms.
"Was he rude?"
I sighed. "Not exactly, but it was
awkward."
He threw both of his arms up in exasperation.
"Well, of course it was. If you saw him again, it would be better. That's the point. It takes time to get to know someone."
"I don't want him to get to know me. I don't want any of them to get to know me." His face fell into a confused scowl.
"I always thought that you were the one person in the world I would understand no matter what. I thought you'd always understand me, too. But you tease me for being in love, and when the opportunity to find someone falls into your lap, you hate it."
I pointed a finger at his chest. "Wasn't it you who said this made no sense for me? Weren't you looking forward to how I'd make them squirm? I thought you and I both agreed this was a joke, and now suddenly you're the selection's biggest cheerleader?" The hallway was painfully silent. I waited for Aaron to argue with me, or at least to explain.
"Sorry I let you down. But I think this is about more than a date. You need to figure out why you're so scared."
I raised myself to my full height. "I'm the next queen of Ilia. I'm scared of nothing." He backed away.
"Keep saying that, Edlin. See if it fixes the problem."
Aaron didn't get too far down the hall, though. Josie had friends over this morning, and the whole lot of them basically melted at the sight of his face. I recognized one of them from the day in the garden, and only remembered her because she had addressed me correctly. I watched as they gave shy grins and ducked their heads. Aaron, to his credit, was polite as always.
"Josie has said your mastery of literature is very impressive," one of the girls said.
Aaron looked away.
"She's exaggerating. I do love to read, and I write a little, but nothing worth sharing."
Another girl stepped forward.
I doubt that's true. I bet our tutor would be happy to have you come teach us sometime. I'd love to hear your thoughts on a few of the books we've been reading.
Josie clasped her hands together.
Oh, yes, please, Erin. Won't you come teach us?
Her friends giggled at her casually using his first name, a habit from growing up beside him.
I'm afraid I have far too much to do with the present. Perhaps another time. You ladies have a wonderful day.
He bowed kindly and continued down the hall, and the girls didn't even wait until he was out of earshot to start giggling like idiots.
He's so handsome, one said, ready to burst with adoration.
Josie sighed.
I know. He's so sweet to me, too. We took a walk together the other day, and he was saying that he thinks I'm one of the prettiest girls he's ever met.
I couldn't take it anymore. I barged past them, not slowing down. You're too young for him, and he has a girlfriend, Josie. Let it go.
I rounded up the stairs to go to the office. I knew I'd feel better once I did something manageable, something I could check off a list.
See?
Josie said, not bothering to lower her voice.
I told you she was awful.
Chapter 16. Work didn't make me feel better. I was still very unsettled about last night with Hale, and any time Erin and I fought, it was like I lost my equilibrium. The whole planet was off its axis. Adding Josie's ridiculous comments to the mix was the cherry on top. My head was swarming with other people's words and my own questions, and I was positive the day was going to end up being a waste.
You know,
Dad said, peeking up from his work.
I got distracted early on, too. It gets easier to manage as the group gets smaller.
I smiled. Fine. Let him think I had a crush. Sorry, Dad.
Not at all. Do you need me to cover your work for you today? Take the afternoon off.
I straightened my papers. No, that's not happening. I'm perfectly capable.
I wasn't doubting you, love.
I've already taken so much time away from work for this. I don't want to neglect my duties. I'm fine. I didn't mean to sound so snippy with him.
All right.
He adjusted his glasses and started reading again. I tried to do the same. What did Erin mean? It was more than the date that upset me. I knew why I was mad. And since when had I given him a hard time about Camille? Sure, I didn't talk to her very much, but that was because we didn't have a lot in common. I didn't dislike the girl. I shook my head, focusing on the papers.
It would be fine if you needed to clear your head,
Dad offered again.
You could go spend some time with one of the selected and come back after lunch. Besides, you'll want to have something to talk about on the report.
I felt a flurry of emotions, trying to figure out how I would discuss how exposed I'd felt after my date with Hale, or how stunned I felt after my kiss with Kyle. Trying to balance the conflicting feelings around those two moments was dizzying without adding anything else. I went on a date last night, Dad. Isn't that enough? He swallowed as he thought.
Eventually, you need to start alerting us when you have dates. A few pictures from some of them would be good for everyone. And I think you need at least one more date before Friday.
Really?
I whined.
Do something you enjoy. You're treating it like work.
That's because it is, I protested with an incredulous laugh.
It can be fun, Edlin. Give it a chance.
He looked at me over his glasses, almost like he was daring me. Fine. One date. That's all you get, old man, I teased. He chuckled.
Old man is right.
Dad went back to his papers, satisfied. I sat there, peeking furtively at him from my desk. He stretched often, rubbing the back of his neck, and even though there weren't any urgent tasks today, he ran his hands through his hair as if he was troubled. Now that Hale had put it in my head, I was going to be watching him often. I decided to make Baden my next target. Maybe Aunt May knew something, because Baden didn't come in brashly, or conversely like he was trying to hide. When someone else stole a moment that should have been solely his at the tea party, he didn't make a fuss. And when I approached him for time alone, he turned the focus back to me.
You play the piano, right?
Baden asked when I invited him on a date. I do. Not as well as my mother, but I'm pretty proficient.
I play the guitar. Maybe we could make some music.
It wasn't anything I would have thought of. Perhaps music would mean less talking, though, and I was all up for that. Sure, I'll secure the women's room for us.
Am I even allowed in there?
He asked skeptically. When you're with me, yes, and I'll make sure it's empty. My favorite piano in the palace is there. Do you need a guitar? He smirked.
Nah, I brought my own.
Baden ran a hand over his cropped hair, seeming very relaxed. I was still attempting to come across as distant and impenetrable, but I could tell there were a handful of guys who weren't bothered by my attitude at all, and Baden was one of them.
What are the chances of the room being empty now?
He asked. I smiled at his enthusiasm. High, actually, but I have work to do. He bent down, his eyes devilish.
But don't you always have work to do? I bet you could stay up till 3 in the morning if you had to.
True, but...
And it'll all still be there when you get back.
I clasped my hands and considered it. I'm really not supposed to. He started chanting slowly.
Skip it, skip it, skip it.
My lips were pressed together, trying to hide my smile. Really, I ought to tell someone. I was going to have yet another undocumented date. But maybe I deserved one more. Next week, I bargained with myself. After this report, I'll worry about the cameras. Go get your guitar, I said, caving.
2 minutes.
He bolted down the hall, and I shook my head. I hoped he wouldn't tell everyone I was an utter pushover. I walked to the women's room, expecting to find it empty. Except for Miss Marley sitting alone in a corner reading, I was right. Your Highness, she greeted. It was one of those funny things. Plenty of people called me that, but when Mom's friends said it, they might as well have been calling me pumpkin or kiddo or baby. I didn't mind it, but it was always kind of strange. Where's Mom? She closed her book. Migraine. I went to see her and she made me leave. Any sound was excruciating. Oh, I was supposed to be having a date right now, but maybe I should go check on her. No, she insisted. She needed rest, and both your parents would be pleased for you to have a date. I considered. If she was really feeling that bad, maybe it would be better to wait. All right. Well, would it be okay if I used the room? Baden and I are going to make music. I squinted. I mean that literally, by the way. She giggled and stood. That's no problem at all. Is it weird for you? I asked suddenly. That Kyle is part of this? That you know I'm about to go on a date with someone who isn't him? Is it, you know, okay? It was quite a shock to see you two on the front page of every paper, she said, shaking her head like she couldn't fathom how it had happened. Then she came close, as if we were trying to keep a secret. But you forget, your parents aren't the only ones here who've been through a selection. I felt like a downright idiot. Why hadn't I thought of that? I remember watching your father scramble to find time for everyone, trying to please those around him, while searching for someone who'd be a good partner. And it's even harder for you, because it's bigger than that. You're making history while trying to divert attention. Saying it's tough is an understatement.
True, I admitted, my shoulders sagging under the weight of it all.
I don't know how you and Kyle ended up, in that position, but I'd be surprised if he made it to the top of your list. All the same, I'm thankful to you.
I was taken aback. Why? I haven't done anything.
You have, she contradicted. You're giving your parents time, which is very generous of you. But you're giving me time, too. I'm not sure how much longer I can keep him here.
A knock came at the door. I turned. That'll be Baden. She placed a hand on my shoulder.
You stay put. I'll let him in.
Oh,
Baden exclaimed when Miss Marley opened the door for him. She chuckled.
Don't worry, I'm on my way out. She's waiting for you.
Baden looked past her to find me, smiling the entire time. He looked so triumphant, so pleased to be alone together.
Is that it?
He asked, pointing just behind me. I spun, taking in the piano. Yes, the tone on this one is wonderful, and this room has great acoustics. He followed me, and I could hear his guitar case bump into his leg or a couch as he navigated through the maze of seats. Without asking, he found an armless chair and pulled it up beside the piano. I trilled my fingers over the keys, doing a quick scale. Baden tuned his guitar, which was dark and worn.
How long have you been playing?
As long as I can remember. I think Mom sat me down next to her as a toddler, and I just went along with whatever she did.
People have always said your mother was a fantastic musician. I think I heard her play on TV once, for a Christmas program or something.
She always plays a lot at Christmas time.
Her favorite time of the year?
He guessed. In a way, sure. But in others, no. And she usually plays when she's worried or sad.
How do you mean?
He tightened a string, finishing his preparations. Oh, you know, I hedged. Holidays can be stressful. I didn't feel right exposing Mom's memories. Losing her father and sister during the same time of year, not to mention a horrific attack that nearly stole my father.
I can't imagine being sad at Christmas time here. If she was poor, I could see why she'd be anxious.
Why? He smiled to himself.
Because it's hard to watch all your friends getting piles of gifts when you don't get any.
Oh. He took the stab at our social differences in stride, not getting mad or calling me a snob, which some might have done. I examined Baden, trying to learn more. The guitar was old, but it was hard to make a call about his financial status while he wore palace-issued clothes. I remembered what Aunt May said about his last name. You're in college, right? I asked. He nodded.
Well, it's on hold for now. Some of my professors were thrown off, but most of them are letting me send assignments back to finish the semester from here.
That's really impressive. He shrugged.
I know what I want, so I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it.
I gave him a curious smirk. How does the selection fit into that?
Wow, no holding back there.
Again, no anger. He almost treated it as a joke. It's a fair question, I think. I started playing one of the classics Mom had taught me. Baden knew the song and joined in. I'd never considered how it would sound with strings. The music won, and we dropped the conversation. But we didn't stop communicating. He watched my eyes, and I studied his fingers. I'd never played with anyone before other than Mom, and I was engaged in a way I didn't know I could be. We played on, with no more than 2 or 3 missteps across the entire song. Baden was beaming as we finished.
I only know a handful of classics, some Beethoven and Debussy mostly.
You're so talented. I've never imagined songs like that on a guitar.
Thanks.
He was only the slightest bit bashful,
To answer your question, I'm here because I want to get married. I haven't dated much, but when this opportunity came up, I thought it might be worth a try. Am I in love with you? Well, not today. I'd like to know if I could be, though.
Something about his tone made me trust he was being completely transparent. He was trying to find a mate, and I was someone he would never have met if he hadn't put his name in for the drawing.
I'd like to make you a promise, if that's okay,
he offered. What kind of promise? He plucked at a few strings.
A promise about us.
If you're vowing to give me your unwavering devotion, it's still too soon. Baden shook his head.
No, that's not in my plan.
Okay, then. I'm listening. His fingers outlined a slightly familiar melody. Not a classic, but something I knew. I couldn't pinpoint it.
If you found that I wasn't a reasonable choice for you, you'd send me home so you could focus on your other options. What I want to promise you is this. If I can tell that you're not the right one for me, I'll tell you. I don't want either of us to waste our time.
I nodded. I'd appreciate that.
Good,
he said smartly, then began bellowing.
Well, she walks up in the room with that smile, 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 and there's legs that go on for a mile, mile, mile. I search in the room for a little fun.
I laughed, finally recognizing the tune he was playing. It was a Choosing Yesterday song that I sang in the bath more often than I cared to admit.
I can't look away from my face, face, face until she starts dancing to that bass, bass, bass. I can't help it. That girl is number one.
I joined in on the piano, giggling a little too hard to get all the notes right for the chorus. But we both sang along, botching up the melody and having too much fun to care.
Oh, she can't be more than 17, but she's all grown up, if you know what I mean. She's the prettiest thing that I've ever seen, yeah. She's my bam, bam, she's my queen.
I kept up with Baden through most of the song, even though I really only had experience with classical music. Why are you bothering with college? You should be touring, I cheered.
That's my backup plan. If the prince thing doesn't pan out?
He was so candid, so real.
Thanks for playing hooky for me.
No problem. I should get back to work, though.
That was the shortest date in history,
he complained. I shrugged. You would have had more time if you waited until tonight. He huffed.
Fine. Lesson learned.
I pulled the cover back over the keys as he placed his guitar in its case. You should take that to the others, I said. I bet they'd get a kick out of trying to play.
What, my guitar? No, no, no. This is my baby.
I watched as he gently petted the shabby case.
If someone broke this, I'd be devastated. My dad got it for me, and it was hard-earned. I'd try to take good care of it.
I'm like that with my tiaras. Baden laughed outright at me. What? He took his time, covering his eyes and shaking his head.
Tiaras,
he finally said.
You really are a princess, huh?
Did you think the last 18 years were a clever trick?
I like that, you know? That you protect your tiaras like I do my guitar. I like that that's your thing.
I pushed the door open, leading us into the hallway. Good, because they're beautiful. He smiled.
Thanks for spending some time with me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. There was a pause.
So, do we shake or hug or what?
You may kiss my hand, I replied, extending an arm. He took it.
Until next time.
Baden kissed me quickly, bowed, and headed toward his room. I walked away thinking of how Aunt May would say she told me so as soon as I saw her again. I knew I'd be the focal point of the report. Typically, I didn't mind giving speeches or updates. But tonight was going to be different. One, this would be the first time I faced the public since the parade. And two, I knew they'd want to hear about Kyle. I wore red. I felt strong in red. And I pulled my hair up, hoping I'd come across as mature. Aunt May hovered in the background, winking at me, while Mom helped Dad with his tie. I heard one of the boys yelp and turned to see Alex holding something sharp in his hand. He was rubbing his backside like he'd sat on it. I hunted, finding Austin in a corner trying desperately not to laugh aloud. With all the company, the room felt crowded, adding to my discomfort, which was why I jumped when someone called my name, even though it was hardly above a whisper.
"I'm sorry, Your Highness," Eric said.
"No, I'm just a little on edge. How can I help you?"
"I hate to bother you, but I wasn't sure who to ask. Where is it most convenient for me to sit so I can translate for Henry?"
I shook my head. "How rude. I didn't even think about that. Here, follow me." I escorted Eric to the stage manager, and we placed Henry in the back row of the stadium-style chairs. Eric was given a seat behind him that was low enough so he wouldn't be seen, but close enough that Henry would be able to hear him. I stayed by them until they were settled. Henry gave a thumbs up, and Eric turned to thank me.
"I'll make sure to go to the stage manager next time, so I won't bother you. I apologize."
"It's fine, really. I want you to be comfortable. The both of you." Eric bowed his head and smiled shyly.
"You don't need to worry about my comfort, Your Highness. I'm no suitor."
"Edlin! Edlin, where are you?" Mom called. I turned from Eric, running around to the front. "Here, Mom." She placed a hand on her heart like it had been racing.
"I couldn't find you. I thought maybe you were backing out on us,"
she said quietly as I approached. "Calm down, Mom," I replied, grabbing her hand. "I'm not perfect, but I'm no coward." Tonight's report centered around the women. Mom gave an update on province-run aid systems, encouraging others to follow the example set by three northern provinces that were helping the homeless by donating food, as well as free classes on topics like managing finances and interviewing skills. Lady Bryce spoke about a drilling proposal that would affect a large chunk of central Ilia. It would benefit the country as a whole, but those six provinces would have to approve it by a vote first. And then, of course, all eyes went to the boys. Gavril stepped onto the stage, looking as dashing as ever, and I could see a bit of a spring in his step. This was the fifth selection Ilia had witnessed, and he had overseen three of them. We all knew he'd find a replacement once this was over, but he seemed so pleased that this would be his final role for the royal family.
"Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we will be dedicating a lot of airtime to the charming young men of the selection. For now, how about we say hello to a few of them?"
Gavril strode across the floor, looking for someone in particular. I wondered if he was having as hard a time memorizing their names as I was.
"Sir Harrison," he began, stopping in front of a sweet-faced boy with dirty blonde hair and dimples.
"A pleasure," Harrison greeted.
"How are you enjoying the palace?"
He beamed.
"It's beautiful here. I've always wanted to come up to Angelus, so that alone has been a real treat."
"Any challenges so far?" Gavril prodded.
Harrison shrugged.
"I was worried that it would be all-out fistfights from dawn till dusk with the princess on the line," he said, gesturing over to me.
I instantly arranged a smile on my face, knowing a camera would zoom in on me at any second.
"But the other guys have been great."
Gavril slid the microphone to the boy next to him.
"What about you? And can you remind us of your name?"
"It's Fox. Fox Wesley,"
he answered,
Fox had a bit of a tan, but unlike me, I could see that he wasn't born with it. He must spend a lot of time outside.
Honestly, and I hope I'm not alone here, so far the biggest challenge is mealtimes. They set out at least a dozen forks for each of us.
A few people chuckled, and Gavril nodded.
You have to wonder where we could possibly store so much cutlery. It's crazy,
mumbled the boy behind Fox.
Oh, Sir Ivan, yes?
Gavril stretched to put the mic in front of him.
Yes, sir. Happy to meet you.
And you as well. How are you managing at mealtimes?
Ivan held both hands in front of him, as if this was very serious.
My current approach is using one fork for each bite, and then making a pile of them in the middle of the table. It's working so far.
The room laughed even more at Ivan's ridiculous answer, and Gavril stepped away from the group, turning to the cameras.
Clearly, we have an extremely entertaining pool of candidates here. So, why don't we take a moment to speak with the young lady who somehow has to narrow it down to only one? Ladies and gentlemen, Her Royal Highness Princess Seedlin Shreve.
Go get him,
Aaron whispered, as I pushed myself out of my seat and crossed the floor, embracing dear Gavril.
Always nice to see you, Your Highness,
he said, as I sat in the chair opposite him center stage. And you, Gavril?
So, here we are, 1 week into the first ever female-led selection. How would you say it's going?
I gave an award-winning smile.
I think it's going well. Of course, I still have work to do each day, so we're off to a fairly slow start.
Gavril glanced back over his shoulder.
Judging by the thinning crowd, I wouldn't say it's that slow.
Batting my eyes, I giggled. Yes, about a third of the gentlemen invited to the palace have been eliminated. I have to trust my gut, and between our initial meetings and the information I've been given, I feel very confident about my choices. Gavril inclined his head.
It sounds like you're using more of your head than your heart at the moment.
I fought the blush. I couldn't tell how well I'd done, but I refused to touch my face to check.
Would you suggest I fall in love with 35 young men at once?
He raised his eyebrows.
Well, when you put it that way.
Exactly. I only have one heart and I'm saving it. I heard sighs around the room, and I felt I'd gotten away with something. How many more lines could I dream up over the following months to keep everyone entertained and at bay? Then I realized I hadn't planned those words. I really felt them, and they escaped under pressure.
It seems you may have let your heart lead the way, at least once,
he said knowingly.
I have a picture to prove it.
I watched as a huge picture of me and Kyle was displayed, and the room erupted with hoots and claps.
Could we get him down here for a moment? Where's Sir Kyle?
He hopped up from his place and sat on a chair next to me.
Now, this is a very unique position for me,
Gavril began,
because I've known both of you your entire lives.
Kyle laughed.
I was thinking about this the other day. My mom said I crawled on set once as a baby, and you held me for the closing of the report.
Gavril's eyes widened.
That's true. I'd forgotten all about that.
I looked at Kyle, giggling at this new story. That must have happened before I was born.
So, from the pictures, it looks like perhaps a childhood friendship is growing into something more.
Kyle stared at me, and I shook my head. No way was I going first on this. He finally caved.
Honestly, I don't think either of us ever thought about the other as a possibility until we were forced to.
Our families laughed boisterously.
Although, if he had gotten a haircut years ago, I might have considered it,
I teased. Gavril shook his head at us.
Everyone is dying to know. How was this infamous kiss?
I knew it was coming, but I was mortified. This was much worse than I imagined it would be, having my private life on display. Mercifully, Kyle addressed it.
I think I can speak for both of us when I say it was a surprise. And while it was special, I don't think we're going to put too much stock in it. I mean, I've been spending time with these other guys, and so many of them would make a wonderful prince.
Really? And would you agree with that, Princess? Have you had one-on-one time with anyone else this week?
It felt like Gavril's words were on a delay. I didn't hear them until I'd processed everything Kyle had just said. Did he mean that? Did he not feel anything at all? Or was he only saying that to maintain some level of privacy? I snapped back into the moment and nodded enthusiastically. Yes, a few. Gavril eyed me.
And?
And they were very nice. I wasn't really in the mood for this in the first place, and Kyle had made me doubt sharing anything at all. Gavril said, turning to the group of the selected.
Maybe we'll get some more information out of the gentleman in question. Sir Kyle, you may head back to your seat. Now, who were the lucky men?
Baden raised his hand, followed by Hale.
Come on down, gentlemen.
Gavril started applauding and the room joined in as Hale and Baden approached, and yet another chair was brought in. I considered myself pretty intelligent, but I could not think of a way to beg them to keep their mouths shut without actually using words. Only then did I realize how easily Kyle managed to do just that. I supposed there was something to be said for knowing each other forever.
Now, what's your name again, sir?
Gavril asked.
Hale Garner?
He pressed down his tie, though it was already in place.
Oh, yes. So, what can you tell us about your date with the princess?
Hale gave me a shy smile, then turned back to Gavril.
Well, I can tell you that our princess is as smart and gracious as I always believed she was. And that we do have a few things in common. We're both the oldest children in our families, and it was fun to talk about my work as a tailor with such a well-dressed young lady. I mean, she looks like $1 million.
I ducked my head, trying to take the compliment playfully while staying on my toes.
But beyond that, I hope you'll forgive me if I keep most of the details to myself,
Hale added. Gavril made a face.
You're not going to tell us anything? Well, dating and falling in love are typically private things. It's kind of weird to talk about at this stage.
Perhaps we'll get more out of the next gentleman,
Gavril said impishly to the cameras.
Remind us of your name again.
Baden Trains.
And what did you and the princess do?
We played music. Princess Edelin is as talented as her mother.
I heard Mom's awe in the background.
And? And she's a lovely dancer, even when she's sitting down. Just so everyone knows, the princess is very up to date on current music.
Baden laughed, and a few people joined in.
And?
Gavril pressed.
And I kissed her hand, and I'm hoping for more kisses in the future.
I wanted to die. For some reason, Baden's request for a kiss was much more embarrassing than talking about one that had already happened with Kyle. The room made encouraging noises again, and I could see Gavril was trying to milk this. Unfortunately for him, there really weren't any more juicy details. Kyle was the only one with anything remotely shocking to share, and that had already been soaked up.
You look so disappointed, Gavril, I remarked quickly.
He made a little pout.
I'm simply excited for you, Your Highness, and want to know everything that's happening. And if we could ask our millions of viewers, I'm sure they'd agree.
Well, don't worry. You and all of Ilia We'll be happy to know that tomorrow I will be hosting a small party for the selected and members of the palace household. Cameras will be there for the entire event, so everyone will get to peek inside the selection process. The room burst into applause again. I could see Josie practically floating out of her chair, she was so excited. Gavril sent Hale and Baden back to their seats with the others before launching into questions again.
What kind of party can we expect tomorrow, Your Highness?
We'll be out in the gardens, enjoying the sun and spending time getting to know one another.
That sounds like a wonderful plan. Very relaxing.
Well, it will be. Except for one tiny detail, I added, pinching my fingers in the air.
And what is that?
After the party, there will be an elimination. Murmurs filled the room, and I knew, regardless of how the public felt about me, meeting the boys tonight would make them curious about who stayed and who left. I continued, hushing the crowd with my words. It could be one person, it could be three, I don't know. So, gentlemen, I said, turning back to the selected, come prepared.
I can't wait to see how this all turns out, and I'm positive it will be a wonderful event. Now, one final question before we call it a night.
I sat up taller. Go for it.
What are you looking for in a husband?
What was I looking for? My independence, peace, freedom, a happiness I thought I had until Aaron questioned it. I shrugged. I'm not sure anyone knows what they're looking for until they find it. Chapter 17. How did Josie get her hands on another one of my tiaras? I'd just about had it with her. She was going to parade around in front of the cameras, in her best dress and my tiara, pretending she was royal for the millionth time in her life. I made eye contact and smiled at people as I passed, but I didn't stop to talk to anyone until I found Kyle. He was standing with Henry again, sipping iced tea and watching a game of badminton. Henry bowed right away.
Hello today, Your Highness,
he said, his accent making the words sound brighter. Hello, Henry. Kyle.
Hi, Edlin.
I might have been imagining there was something different about Kyle's voice, but for maybe the first time ever, I wanted to hear him speak. I shook my head, focusing. Kyle, could you please go talk to your sister? The contentment in his eyes quickly turned to frustration.
Why? What'd she do this time?
She's taken yet another one of my tiaras.
Don't you have, like, 1,000 of those?
I huffed. That's hardly the point. It's mine, and she shouldn't be wearing it. When she walks around like that, she gives the impression that she's royal when she's not. It's inappropriate. Could you please talk to her about her behavior?
When did I become the person who did all these favors for you?
My eyes darted over to Henry and Eric, who didn't know about the arrangement behind our kiss. They didn't seem to catch on. Please? I asked in a hushed voice. His eyes softened, and I saw a little of the person he showed me in his room. Someone sweet and engaging.
Fine. But Josie just likes attention. I don't think she's doing it to be mean.
Thank you.
I'm going. Be right back.
He stomped off as Eric conveyed what was happening to Henry. Henry cleared his throat before speaking, his words ending on strange pitches.
How are you today, Your Highness?
I wasn't completely sure if I should try to go through Eric or not. I went with Henry. Very good, you?
Good, good,
he replied cheerfully.
I to enjoy...
He turned and conveyed the rest of his comment to Eric.
He thinks the party is great, and he likes the company.
I wasn't sure if he meant Kyle or me, but either way, it was nice of him to say. So, When did you move over from Swendway? Henry was nodding his head, as if to confirm he was from Swendway, but not actually answering the question. Eric whispered over to him quickly, and Henry gave him a lengthy reply that was translated for me.
Henry immigrated to Ilia last year when he was 17. He comes from a family of cooks, which is what he does back home. They make food from their homeland and generally interact with others who also come from Swendway and only speak Finnish. He has a younger sister who is working very hard on her English, but it's a difficult language.
Wow, that was a lot to keep up with, I said to Eric. He waved his hand.
I try.
I could guess how hard Eric's work was, but I appreciated his modesty. I turned to Henry. We'll have to spend some time together soon, where we can talk easier. Eric passed that on to Henry, who nodded vigorously.
Yes, yes,
I giggled. Until then. The lawn was full of the selected. General Ledger had Miss Lucy on his arm as he spoke with a handful of boys by a fountain, and Dad was making his rounds, occasionally clapping someone on the back and saying hello before whisking off again. Mom was sitting in a chair under a parasol, and I wasn't sure if it was charming or unsettling that several of the selected were buzzing around her. It was a delightful party. People were playing games, there was lots of food, and a string quartet was performing under a canopy. The camera zoomed around, capturing it all, and I hoped this would be enough to calm the people. I had no idea whether Dad was closer to having a plan for how to soothe the country permanently. In the meantime, I had to find a way to eliminate at least one person after today, and have a good enough reason to make it seem believable. Kyle sneaked up on me.
Here you go.
He held my tiara in his hands. I can't believe she gave it up.
It took some convincing, but I reminded her that if she made a scene at this event, Mom probably wouldn't let her come to another one. That was enough to get her to take it off. So here.
I can't take it, I said, keeping my hands together.
But you just asked for it,
he complained. I don't want it on her, but I also can't carry it around. I have things to do. He shifted his weight, clearly vexed. It was kind of nice to be on this side of the irritating.
So what? I have to hold on to it for the rest of the day?
Not the whole day. Just until we go inside, and then I can take it. Kyle shook his head.
You're really unbelievable.
Hush, go enjoy the party. But first,
wait, we have to take off this tie.
He looked down as I started tugging.
What's wrong with my tie?
Everything, I said. Everything in the universe is wrong with this tie. I bet we could find world peace if we burned it. I got it unknotted and wrapped it up in my hand.
That's so much better.
I placed the wadded fabric in his palm, grabbed the tiara from his other hand, and placed it on his head. That really works with your hair. He smirked, his eyes staring into mine with amusement.
So, since you don't want your tiara now, maybe I could give it back to you tonight? I could come by your room, if you like.
Kyle bit his lip, and all I could think about was how soft they were. I swallowed, understanding the unspoken question. That would be fine, I answered, fighting a blush. Maybe around 9?
9.
Kyle nodded and backed away. So he was just being discreet on the report. I furrowed my brow in thought. Or maybe he was simply planning to pass his time kissing me. Or maybe he'd been deeply in love with me since he was 7 and was only now finding the courage to stop teasing me and say so. Or maybe. Ian walked up and laced his arm through mine.
Oh,
I gasped.
You look upset. Whatever that little boy said to upset you, don't give it another thought.
Sir Ian, I greeted, impressed with how calm he was around me.
How can I help you?
By taking a walk with me, of course. I still haven't gotten a chance to speak with you, just the two of us.
Ian's caramel-colored hair looked almost golden in the sun, and while he didn't have the same cutting-edge style Hale did, he looked smarter in his suit than most of the others. Some men simply didn't look good in them.
Well, you have me alone now. What would you like to talk about?
He smirked.
Mostly, I'm curious about you. I've always thought of you as very independent, so I was surprised that you would start looking for a husband so young, based on seeing you on the report and all the specials on your family. I thought you'd take your time.
He knew. He was so calm in his assessment. I was sure he knew this was all for show.
It's true. I'd planned to wait. But my parents are so blissfully in love. I thought this might be worth trying.
Ian examined me.
Do you feel like any one of these candidates truly has what it takes to be your partner?
I raised my eyebrows. Do you think so little of yourself? He stopped walking and we faced each other.
No, but I think very highly of you. And I can't see you deigning to settle before you've really lived.
It seemed impossible that a stranger could see so much, especially considering the lengths I took to guard my thoughts and feelings. How closely had Ian been watching me all these years?
People can change, I replied vaguely.
He nodded.
They can, I suppose. But if you ever find yourself feeling lost in this competition, I'd be happy to help you in any way I could.
And how exactly would you help me? Ian gently escorted me back toward the crowd.
I think that's a conversation for another day, but know that I am here for you, Your Highness.
He stared deep into my eyes, as if he thought that all my secrets would spill out if he held my gaze long enough. I found myself needing to take some deep breaths once we finally broke eye contact.
It's a lovely day.
I looked up, and one of the selected was standing there. I was completely blanking on his name.
Yes, it is. Are you having a good time?
Oh, please, what was his name?
I am.
He had a very friendly face and a pleasant warmth to his voice.
I just won a round of croquet. Do you play?
A little. How was I going to figure this out?
Do you play a lot back home?
Nah, not really. Up in White's, it's mostly winter sports.
White's?